Welcome everyone to Paradigm Shifters. Our Paradigm Shifter today is going to take you through some mystical magic for the sake of moving, I would say, multidimensionally. Carla Mieske, is that how you say your name, Carla?
It's actually Mieske.
Oh, Mieske, all right.
Uh-huh.
And you have been leading, well, not only that, you're an intuitive, right? But you've been leading expeditions to places like Ireland, where there's these Celtic stone arrangements, and actually helping people enter into their mystical wisdom. Is that right?
Well, close. I might be doing that. I actually went on a tour with other people.
Oh.
And my friends who are close to you down in Eugene, Reed and Alida Birch and Reed Hart, they're my dear friends. We went to shamanism school together back in the day.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah.
And they lead them normally? Mm-hmm.
No, but they were going on a tour and they said, "You want to go?" And I said, "Yes," because that's my MO, is to say yes. So.
Well, are you an intuitive? Is that what your shingle is?
I am a shamanic healer.
Okay, good.
I use intuition in that, of course, but I cross between the worlds to speak with spirit, compassionate beings, and I ask these spirits for help for my clients and for myself and for my community. So the spirits I work with are, to me, as real as you and I are to one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see their faces, I know their names, I know their history. Many of them are my ancestors, and they help me. They have more wisdom than I, and obviously, they bring healing power through me. My bones become vessels for their power.
Oh, wow.
For it
okay.
to come through my hands, and I can do that directly hands-on, and I can do it through the ether. I work a lot over the telephone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what would you like to explain to people what exactly shaman means?
Sure. A shaman is a person who can cross between the worlds to connect with these beautiful, compassionate beings to bring healing and wisdom back. And they are the oldest medicine people that we know of. The word itself comes from the Tuval language out of Siberia. And it's been applied by anthropologists to the people who do that kind of thing in tribal cultures all over the world. Mm-hmm. Every tribal culture has shamanic healers, has shamans. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, shamanism is being revived in our modern culture. So those of us who have the inclination are able to get training now, thanks to some brilliant people who decided that it was time to make a comeback of it. Michael Harner being the teacher who brought me into it 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. He was very famous 20 years ago, too. Is he still doing his wonderful work?
Well, his foundation for shamanic studies is still doing its wonderful work. And Michael apparently shows up now and then, but he's getting long in the tooth, and he's not as active in it as he used to be.
Hmm. So how long did it take you? I mean, it's very interesting for a lot of my clients, and even for me, that those of us who break into altered states, I like to say I live in the altered states of America, actually.
But
it takes quite a bit for people to break open and really enter these altered worlds, or these different worlds, or these layers of consciousness or dimensions. How long did it take you to figure that all out?
I'm still figuring it out. The answer to that is I'm still just scratching the surface. I have been working in the shamanic path, directly in the shamanic path, for 30 years.
Oh, wow. That's quite a while, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I realized when I was young, like in sixth grade, I was still pretty, I don't know. In seventh grade, it dawned on me that I had access to another world.
Hmm.
And I began doing intuitive readings, seventh grade.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Tarot deck, I Ching. Oh, yeah. And then in college, I became fascinated with the Rosicrucians and with Manly P. Hall. and the old mystical studies of Western civilization.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So I pursued the mystical studies of Western civilization all through college.
And so is that what you got your degree in?
Kind of. I went to St. John's College in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I studied the great books.
Okay.
Which means I read Aristotle and Plato and all of them. I did not study the Rosicrucians in college, but I studied the philosophy that lays underneath much of our thinking. Mm-hmm. I became a philosopher. So that was great. And a mathematician.
So oh, good for you. Wonderful combination, huh?
Yeah. Classical mathematics, classical philosophy. So when someone says something about sacred geometry to me, I get it. And when I was in a stone circle and the genus loci, the spirit of the circle, said, the first thing I want you to do is describe the triangle, the equilateral triangle. He did not say the equilateral triangle. He said, you start here, you go to that point, you go to that point, and you come back to this point. And when you do that, you understand how we could build and design everything. Hmm. And he's right.
Wow.
If you take a circle and you lay that equilateral triangle into it, you've got everything. You've got the whole Euclidean geometry of the world right there, and it's mapped on the sky. It's they reflect.
Hmm. But you don't actually have to have the deep philosophical understanding in order to use those tools, do you?
No. And as you use the tools and you discover the philosophical expansion of those tools, it's just sheer delight.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yes.
So have you also studied a lot more sacred geometrics as well?
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. My forte, though, my strength is in shamanic healing, where I go into the sacred worlds and I work with Grandmother Sunflower, who's my number one spirit teacher. Mm-hmm. And I love to do healing work for animals.
Oh, wonderful. What a service that is. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I work with people a lot too, but animals are my yum-yum. Mm.
Do you have dogs and cats at home or horses?
3 horses and 2 cats.
Wow, wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had dogs forever, and then the last one passed, and my husband and I thought that we just weren't ready to have another dog, and we're still not. So we're dog free for a while. You know, mm-hmm. You go through stages.
Well, tell me this. Do you communicate with animals directly? Or are you able to do that?
Yes. And I use the shamanic journey to communicate. So I will go in, I'll use the shamanic journey where you use a drum and you close your eyes and you slip into non-ordinary reality. Mm-hmm. And I have a sacred circle with Grandmother Sunflower. And I bring the spirit of the animal into that circle. So my spirit is there and the animal spirit is there. And we talk, we chat. In that dimension, conversation flows really easily.
Hmm. And so then you are in a major trance at that point, or a shifted state, right?
Yeah, I'm in what we call the shamanic state of consciousness.
Okay.
I'm fully aware of the world around me. I do not lose my consciousness, my ordinary reality consciousness, but I'm concentrating and focused on my non-ordinary reality consciousness. And so it's a brain training exercise.
It's wonderful. I mean, brain training, yeah, tell us more about that. I'm very interested in that.
Well, it's kind of like this. If someone were to tell you to use soft eyes, mm-hmm. and what they would mean is stop focusing on a point, relax your eyes, and allow your eyes to see everything so that you can see your peripheral vision and all the vision in between. Mm-hmm. You know, the little trick that you do when you're looking at a three-dimensional picture and then you can see the new thing come out of it?
Right.
You know, those. Yeah, exactly. Soft eyes, that's called. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what we do when we're training our brain in shamanism. We teach our brain to hold a really strong, clear focus on something that is fuzzy. We focus on our intention for connecting with spirit and our purpose for that connection. So if I'm intending to connect with Grandmother Sunflower, that's great. I can see her. She's smiling and waving. And my intention is to ask her, Grandmother, was there anything you'd like to share right now with Veronica and her listeners?
Wonderful.
She says, oh.
I'd love that. Will she share with us, even though she says, oh?
Yes, she's actually showing me things right now. She's laying out in front of her, you got to love this, cooking implements.
Nice.
She's never shown me this domestic side of herself before. No, it's not a domestic side of me. It's how I cook together new creation. She is a goddess of nature. She's one of the great creation goddesses. And she's showing me how she can... Oh, wow, this is really big. She's showing me how she influences DNA to create the next generation of beings that have the capacity to be strong in the new environment. What do we call that? Darwin called it something. See, here I'm in non-ordinary reality. I'm going to slip out because I've just totally lost origin of species, the whole thing about what is that called when we change over lifetimes?
Evolve, right?
Evolve! She's showing me how she is one of the beings who helps, and she's showing me specifically in rabbits, helps them envision how the new ones can envision being different in order to survive in. And these skills, this knowledge is important for your world right now because you have changed the world, or the world is changing, who cares how, but it's changing, and you're going to need to adapt. Mm-hmm. And you can ask me and ask my colleagues to help you adapt.
And if we ask her, we would ask Grandmother Sunflower?
Yes, or the spirits you may work with, the large spirits you may work with, the spirits who are of complete ancestry, the ones that have been recognized since the beginning of time as being guiding spirits for human beings as they make their way through the world.
Hmm.
For example, Gaia.
Okay, sure.
Earth.
Yeah.
Or the big spirits, the ones that you wouldn't expect to see walking around in clothing, but sometimes they do.
And they do that to help us understand who they are, right?
Well, it's interesting with Bridget, the great spirit of the goddess of the summer months of the British Isles, especially Ireland, known to the ancient ones forever, as long as there have been people, they knew her. But when Christianity came and the pagan traditions were converted to Christian traditions, she incarnated into a woman and became Saint Bridget.
Oh, my.
She physically incarnated because that's what the new people needed. They needed their saints to have to walk around in flesh and blood. Apparently, it's all the rage. So she became Saint Bridget, and she did her beautiful Bridget thing within the Catholic tradition. And it's the same spirit.
Interesting. And we've had Thoth and Hermes and that kind of lineage is all apparently the same spirit, right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about like these days? Is Bridget, for example, is Grandmother Sunflower, are they ready to come through in the form of people?
I don't know about Bridget because I don't work with her directly. I work with a side of her directly, but I haven't worked with her directly. Grandmother Sunflower is shaking her head. No. That's why we have you, she points. That's why the shamaness is coming back, because you are the bridge for us to work our magic in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've been told repeatedly that since my brain and my body have been trained to carry their power, which is what shamans do, they carry the power of spirit in order to do healing work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trained really well to do that, that it would behoove me, it would be a good idea if I really made a practice of doing that in order to bring the light through as regularly and thoroughly and completely as possible. Which comes back to your first question. How long have I been working in the altered states of America? And my answer that I'm still just learning how, because I spend a lot of my day being absolutely normal. And grandmother would kind of like it if I spent more of my day shining.
Sometimes you just don't get the floor swept if you do that, right?
Oh, my God.
No. And if you have all those animals, too, do you look after the horses yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And no, nobody helps. Husband helps, but I don't have people. I don't have any hands or.
And does your husband like the shamanic work? Is he also a shaman? Shaman?
No, he's not. He's just a kind, darling man who supports me in whatever I like.
Ah, great. Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if Grandmother Sunflower has anything to guide me about. Is that a fair question?
Sure. What is it? What subject would you like to approach to her?
Well, I am very transcendent. I want to be a part of a huge consciousness shift that we believe is going on right now. And I'm learning all kinds of multidimensional aspects. And I just wondered if she could guide me a little on direction to go in. Where would the strength be the best? And how can I help more people? That sort of thing.
There's one of the mysteries that you follow, that you've studied, it's a mystery tradition, has at its center a purple flame.
Oh, right. Yes, I do that.
And that's the one that serves you for your strongest transference, for your brightest outflow, for you to have the most healing influence on the people and the world that you're connected to, your sphere of influence. That purple flame tradition is the strong one for you right now to pursue with humility.
Oh my, with humility. I love that. Tell her thank you very much. I'd really like very much to be introduced to some more higher beings, because I really believe I've used a different system than you, but I work with tremendous guidance very often.
Right. And, sure. Yeah.
I really feel like it's like a period of awakening going on, and we need to really be amping up and really sharing with a lot of people their ability to awaken and feel the tremendous consciousness support that we can attach to, or we can be updrafted with, or however you see it. And so I thought that information that Grandmother Sunflower sent is very helpful to me. And it is good. Like being brand new all the time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So keep going. I'd like to know more about, for example, some of the questions that I'd love you to discuss are, we have, for example, the stone circles. We have vibrational realms out there. When you spoke of triangles, when I first opened up many years ago, I was kind of crazy, or I was like totally off balance. And what happened is triangles in everything I saw coming to me, as if they were like floating toward me or zooming toward me, over and over, everywhere I went. And I realized, just by being sticking to it all, that it was a portal kind of situation, but it was very disrupting for quite a while. And now I realize those are the building blocks of reality, consciousness, whatever. You know, you said it very well a few minutes ago when you were talking about those as a form, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting that you would see portals through triangles. And yeah, that's interesting. The fairy world, have you heard of the Tuatadanan or the
nope.
She?
Okay. It's a very different system to me, and I'm very eager to hear about it.
Oh, okay. It's very old. Mm-hmm. The I work in the tradition of my mother's lineage in the Celtic side.
Okay.
And I know lots of things, but that's the one that resonates with me because my gift came through my mother's side.
Okay.
I mean, we were in the Salem witch trial book, don't you know?
Wow, were you?
No,
Your
I'm
whole
just saying.
lineage?
Well, you know, somebody back in the day got, she got her name written down. Poor lady.
And was she hung? Was she killed?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But my lineage on my mother's side is active, and my mother was active. She could see aura and she could do things. So that's the gift comes through her side, and I'm drawn to the Celtic heritage or pre-Celtic even heritage as evidenced in the British Isles. That's
mm-hmm.
really my strength.
Hmm.
So, and well, Europe in general, but you know, the what they call them, the Stone Age cultures, and then the Druidry that came after that, which evokes the memory of what could be remembered from those cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in Ireland, that's what I was doing. I was journeying to the spirits who were the conductors then and still are now, to learn from them, to meet them, and to come back into a relationship with them. And so that was my mission there in Ireland. But in any case, there's...
And that's conscious relationship you're speaking of, where you can actually be in community with them. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Actually see them, talk to them. One of the clearest and strongest was I was doing a healing session for a woman who's in Texas, and I was in Ireland, and she had a problem. So she called me and said, please do a healing session for me. And I said, okay. And in the middle of the healing session, a druid spirit walked into my sacred circle. So I'm journeying. I have my drum, bang, 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 bang. My eyes are closed. I'm journeying. I have my client spirit and my spirit in the sacred circle of Grandmother Sunflower. We're doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
This druid woman walks in, vivid, and she pulls her hat, her cloak back, and she's got this old hag's face, and
oh,
it melts into the Irish countryside, the gorgeous, gorgeous green of the Irish countryside.
Hmm.
Her name, she is one of the great goddesses of the old tradition. Her name is the Calliach.
Icaliac, okay.
Yes, and she is the winter aspect of the goddess, and she sings over the bones of the animals through the winter so that they can come back to life again in the spring.
Oh,
yeah, she's called the Bone Mother. She gave me a ritual that my client can do, so that she could bury her own bones with the sadness and the death of her father and the people who had died in her life. She was sad from that. And it was an amazing thing. I mean, the Calliach was really stern. You must bury your bones. She's very fierce.
Hmm.
And then I saw her again. I saw her again journeying to her in her cairn, and she did a healing on me, which was personal and sweet. Oh, my God. And then I was back in stateside and here in America at a workshop with one of my favorite teachers, a man named Claude Ponsolet.
Mm.
And Claude was having us do a journey into something, and I don't remember what it was, because the Calliach walked in and she said, now I will teach you the ritual that you can teach the world on how to bury your bones.
Oh, wonderful.
And she took me through it. It was mind-boggling.
Really?
Really mind-boggling.
Well, wait a sec. Where do the bones come from? Are these just bones from your lineage? Are these bones from, you know, general, from animals or people or...
They're in your body.
Oh, I see, but you're not burying your bones now.
Uh-huh, I did. I melted into the earth. I buried my bones.
Wow, now that's something, huh?
In shamanic work, it's not at all unusual to die shamanic deaths
okay.
in order to transfigure and be reborn.
Okay. That makes sense. Eh?
And yeah, it's a really common theme. And it does make sense because in winter, that's what we do. We go underground and we hibernate.
Well, now tell me, was that also an initiation for you? Like
Big
when you
time.
die? Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I related the two. It was a form of one of the classic death initiations.
Wonderful.
There are versions of that which are more formalized, which you'll hear in Peru, gazpacho ceremonies, where you'll make this big bundle and then burn it, right? There's lots of shamanic tradition where you're committing to flame something which needs to be transmuted into another state.
Mm-hmm.
This form has to go into another form, you know, like water to ice to air vapor,
sure.
A change of state. When we are getting rid of, shedding, losing, transmuting the things about us which no longer serve, the way that we do that within these traditions is we have a ceremony that transmutes them and changes their state. So the idea of ever evolving and going lighter and higher and leaving the earth body behind, we don't think that way.
Okay.
We bring the earth body into its divine perfection. We think about the idealized beauty of the earth body and achieve and strive for that. It's not about leaving it behind and going to angelic realms. It's about being the brightest, most gorgeous bulb you can be in your body right now.
Hmm.
That's a key difference between the shamanic traditions and some of the more, the different New Age traditions, which are, you know, sometimes elevating yourself, and they think about that way. So that's just something for people to understand. It's a little bit different that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like,
actually
all
the same. I think it's really all the same, but to honor and respect your bones is a big deal.
Well, it's all about spiritual and intentional focus, is it not? And being with transcendent levels of consciousness. I feel like that's kind of a similarity.
It is very much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're not stuck in the same old. I often think the bones hold so much history and wisdom and way beyond what we realize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so true.
This is really exciting stuff. So you did your shamanic death and buried your bare bones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what happened next. And I have another level of questions I want to ask you, too.
Well, after that, grandmother took my core wound and transmuted it into a seed, and then she watered the seed with the well of wisdom.
Hmm.
And I began to sprout. I rose up out of the ground as a tree.
Oh, my.
And that tree, I was stayed as that tree for a long time. And now I use that. And then I did some conscious work to shapeshift back into myself completely so I wouldn't be trapped, sort of half tree, half person.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to drive when you're that way.
How long did this period last where you were half tree, half person, or you were still a tree? How long did all that last?
You know, about a day.
Oh, okay. Not like 6 months or anything.
No.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. That would be bad practice. You need to be able to cross between the worlds at will.
Mm-hmm.
But I need that tree awareness, because now when I do hands-on work, I merge again with that tree and I see its canopy touching my client.
Nice. How beautiful.
Yes, and its leaves become like the stars and they touch the client exactly how that person or animal needs.
That's wonderful.
Oh. So that's what happened. I became a tree.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree.
Yeah.
So I want to ask another thing. I keep dropping back into the concept of the stone circles, and I realize you didn't lead one as much as you were touched by one. But would you suggest or would you say that the spirits that you're speaking about, and I can't quote the name of the ancient wise one who made you bury your bones, okay, I can't quite get the name straight, but
Kaliak.
Kaliak, are these the beings, is she one of the beings who comes to the stone circle or is has access through the stone circle? Is that part of what their role is?
I think each stone circle has its own spirits who are the keepers of that place and associated with that place. When you're there and you're doing ceremony, you can call in spirits that you might want to work with.
Oh, I
But
see.
it's.
So that, but you've been primed by then to know which ones are local, is that right?
Well, you journey, you walk into the stone circle and you journey to meet the genus loci, the spirit who is the keeper of that place.
Oh, okay. So you're not primed ahead of time intellectually. You're actually
No.
just going into an altered state again, right?
Right. We in my work I do almost zero priming intellectually. It's all experiential.
Great. I love that.
Yes.
And what's the difference between what you're doing and soul retrievals?
Soul retrieval is one of the shamanic healing practices. It's a core practice in shamanism, and it's one I do it all the time for my clients. Soul retrieval is a shamanic work wherein the shaman works in connection with a compassionate spirit, a teacher, and asks the teacher to identify the where the person, the client, is missing soul.
Okay.
So first thing we do is we clear out the energy that has come in because the soul energy is not there. Imagine the soul is infinite and separable, and pieces of it will slip away when a person is traumatized. And that can be silly little trauma like your mom's grocery cart ran over your foot. Or it can be big trauma like your dad was abusive, or your husband was abusive, or you had a car wreck, or you went through a hurricane, for example.
Or a war.
Or a war, exactly. I mean, people have trauma. And everybody has some soul loss because trauma can be so important to the person, even though it seems insignificant to the world. Like, I mean, I use the example of the grocery cart because that happened to me as a kid.
Oh,
It was
really?
like, oh my God.
And then so it kept a part of you from being operative or being integrated with your soul, spirit, and self. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And the shaman's job is to clear out any intrusions or energetic entities that have filled that void and then retrieve those soul parts, find them where they were, and encourage them to come back and then bring them back and blow them gently into the person and find out what gifts they have to share with the person. And then help the person integrate them back into their lives.
Well, can you give us an example of someone going through the change? You don't have to give us any names, but going through that kind of experience and their life changing or, it was successful.
Yes, I have a client that I was have been working with recently, and she came to me because she had deep soul loss from a kind of fractured childhood, a big trauma. Okay, when you're one of these big trauma people.
Sure.
And so I did deep, deep, deep soul retrieval work for her, big stuff. And didn't hear from her again for a long time, always a good sign. So she called me up the other day and she said, "First of all, I have to tell you that we did the work in December and my life immediately changed.
Oh,
I no
my.
longer." She had some obsessive compulsive thoughts. They were gone. Her obsessive compulsive behaviors, gone. Her ability to feel complete and whole, 100% back. Her whole life changed. Everything
Wow.
shifted. And so after about, what is it, 9 months now? She was noticing other things that were bothering her, right? So that huge integration had happened, and now lesser problematic things have come up, and she wants to fix them too. So
Well, I
she
don't blame her.
yeah.
Do you find it changes people's relationships, ability to be in relationships since parts of them are mating with some disability or some blockage or perhaps something else that filled the void? You think that happens as well? I bet it
Sure.
does. Sure.
Well, whatever is problematic for a person because their soul is not fully present, whatever those symptoms are, whatever their memory loss, their inability to connect with people, their blockages in their heart, their anger, whatever it is, those things can be resolved through soul retrieval. And, it's kind of a spooky thing, but it's important to note that people who have had a lot of soul loss, that nature abhors a vacuum and entities can move into that space.
That's for sure.
And so those entities can have life force in that person and they can cause the person to have behaviors and ideas and thoughts which are unbecoming at best. So moving those entities out and getting them healed is a huge part of the work.
And getting the entities themselves healed. Is that right?
Yes, because yeah, that I mean, a good shaman will never just cast out something and send it into the air. No, we don't do that because where's it going to land? Oh my God. So we transmute it, just like the Bone Mother says, you have to bury your bones and let them be dissolved by the soil and eaten by the worms and brought back into a beautiful state. We transmute pain and suffering. We transmute it in entities, an entity that has pain and suffering. We'll transmute that. We try to heal everything we come in contact with. Compassion is the only weapon.
Aha.
Yeah.
So back to this, I'm going to repeat the question for a personal reason, watching how carefully you've explained all this. I'm fascinated by it, and I'm going, I'll bet you people do go through huge relationship changes in their own world when you do that. Is that right?
Well, I think so, but I mean, I don't have a lot of antidotes for you on that,
Well,
except
I
to,
think that's okay.
yeah, I mean, if you're in a relationship and there's problems in it, we all know that you can't change the other person, you can only change you. And when you change you, the other person is likely to meet and match and rise to the occasion. And if they don't, well, then maybe you leave.
Right, then you wander off, perhaps, yeah. That's pretty interesting. Let's jump back into Ireland for a moment, or perhaps we should say Druidic or Celtic regions or Stonehenge. What's going on in those places? What do you think? Well, I'll let you talk about that first. You're obviously bidden to go over to England and Ireland. It's wonderful. Scotland.
Well, the power of the old ways is alive in the rocks and in the earth and in the people. So much so that Ireland has some of the highest density of Neolithic sites that and they have not been disturbed for 5,000 years. Why? Because the people know that the places are important and they have power. Even though they've been converted to Catholicism and technology and whatever, people know the stories are alive in their breath. They're alive in their bones. They're alive in their culture. And respect for those places is paramount.
I like that a lot, don't you?
Oh, I love that.
So as human consciousness is and its potential changes over this next period, which it has to do or shift itself into another realm entirely, right? It has to change. We have to grow up. These beings that are so ancient, for example, they're already in that flow, are they not? Or what would you say about that? Are they going with us? Are they leading the way? Are they part of universal community kind of thing?
Yes, I think that we're returning to a knowledge that used to be on Earth, used to walk on Earth. There's a spirit tribe called the Tuatha De Danann, the children of Dana, or the children of light, and they are very real and they're very alive in a dimension that's parallel to ours.
Okay.
They used to walk on Earth.
Ah.
When bad things started to happen, they went into the hills, into these cairns, into the countryside, and they set up housekeeping in another dimension parallel to ours. They are still very present and very alive, and we can work with them. And there are some who say that those people who are coming back into this world trying to bring the light back in are incarnations of the Tuatha De Danann. Now, you know, that's going to be true for some cultures and not for others.
Did you call it children of light?
Children of light. Children of Dana.
Dana. D-O-N-N-A.
D-A-N-N-A. She's one of the great spirits that was known throughout the European traditions in the thousands and thousands of years ago and through the Celtic times. So the stories of the European culture stories stay alive in the naming of rivers and in the mythologies and through druidry, which is trying their best to keep them alive. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So right now there's a paradigm that we are shifting to a higher consciousness and we are rising up and so on and so forth. And I think we're returning to the truth that we are filled with light. We are light beings.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel, okay, my way of putting it would be a little different. Not just that we're rising, but that we are awakening to find the power and in the consciousness. For example, the children of light are in a different dimension, but to be able to be in this world is probably the next kind of step where once again we get infused with this amazing ancient wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been fear that's blocked it, hasn't it?
Well, maybe. There's sure a lot of chaos in that's bred in that people tend to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
Fear drives it, but so does greed.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know, so does ego. So does power over dominance. You know, all these awful things.
But when we leave the planet, you're suggesting... Now, I'm just playing around here because I don't know what's actual all the time. But
who does? Right?
But, but when, as we said, we're both at the beginning all the time, right?
Yeah. But
when I see, for example, the threat that so many people will pass at this point... whilst you're speaking, I go, well, you know, it isn't that we're gone. We may be just in different levels and different dimensions and probably just as happy to be there at times in order to collect our wits and to rain wisdom from wherever we are in order to achieve something. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, when you think about it, if your soul is eternal, you probably spent a lot more of your soul's lifetime being something other than a human being.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was very small, I knew where I'd been before.
Mm.
And I didn't have any question about that. I used to turn on these pictures when I sat in a little ditch and so on. I used to turn on the pictures of it. And it was all in colors and lights and love and deep emotion and so on. I feel like that's kind of the wisdom that runs through us as a species. We have all this incredible wisdom that doesn't get much airplay.
Sure doesn't, does it?
And the way you're talking about, whether it's soul retrievals or shamanism, all of that has this amazing flow of wisdom outside of our 3D world, which is so fraught with fear and greed, as you said, and wars and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, all your vices, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if people are talking about this is a war planet, and I kind of want to know that there's a way beyond that, and maybe that's what you're speaking of.
I think that Chaos is inevitable because it produces change, and human beings somehow figured out that they could harness that to bring themselves power, and that's when all the trouble began. So maybe that's what the Adam and Eve story is all about. I don't know.
Have you read all the biblical stuff? I bet you have. If you've studied philosophy, you're probably just a rich source of all these, eh?
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. And I read the Book of John in Greek, for example.
Oh my.
Yes.
You can read Greek?
Not anymore, but I did in college. It was part of the curriculum. Oy.
Oy. So when someone goes into, this is a slight shift, but I have a vision in my mind of what we're talking about. And this is a slight shift, but when people are going into, for example, the studies of philosophy and the studies of, well, okay, I have this little bone to pick with reality. I keep saying we use words and we use all kinds of things to give us shared thought processes. And mm-hmm. I often wonder about that, and I go, wow. It's like even with Star Wars. Here's a blatant example. I go, Star Wars is telling us that we're going to move off this planet and be a war species out in the universes. I go, that's training our brains to create that sort of conscious. Do you see what I'm trying to say? What came first, the chicken or the egg? So I'm always kind of puttering around in these thoughts these days and going, how do we extricate ourselves from being designed? We don't want to be designer sheeple anymore. We want to be, in truth and integrity, and bringing souls back together from soul retrievals is a part of that, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And taking quite seriously the obligation to be the light, to allow the beauty and light to shine through me as much as I possibly can without my creating shadows and havoc by having wrong thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Really simple mindfulness stuff, like don't be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Hold no judgment. Judgment free,
Sometimes that's really difficult.
It's always difficult.
Thank you.
Judging myself again.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to end this soon, but I'd love to speak with you again. I've been pushing some of your concepts and your gifts for my own personal learning, and I hope that people at home are enjoying that for themselves as well.
Because thank you.
It is a kind of it's a mysterious reality that we have access to, isn't it? And you've pinpointed it beautifully. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much. It's been a delight speaking with you. How much fun have we had?
I've had a wonderful time, and I'm not over it yet.
Oh.
Anyway, tell people how they can get hold of you and where to find you in terms of workshops or books. Do you have books?
I do. On Amazon, I have an old book I wrote called The Calico Shaman, and it's stories about my work as a shamanic healer for animals.
Oh,
and it's really fun.
That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm.
But I haven't written any books since then. Instead, I just write my blog and I do podcasts.
How can we find your blog?
I'm on spirithealer.com.
Okay. spirithealer.com.
Yeah.
And also you give workshops sometimes, don't you?
I do, and I teach them over Zoom. I teach them over the internet.
Wonderful. And so when they go to spirithealer.com, they will have access to your latest gifts for the world?
Yep, events. It's an event calendar. It's awesome.
Aww.
Find everything on it. It's awesome. There's a free circle every month on the third, right this year, it's the third Monday.
Okay.
You're welcome to come. People who have any capacity for journeying may come and join us for Journey Circle. And I've got a free class coming up very soon. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know the exact date, but it's coming up very soon with the Fairy Telesummit. There's a wonderful woman named Kim Wilborn who does telesummits on themes. And this theme is on the fairies.
Oh, wonderful. And
so I'm speaking in that group. And that's
wonderful.
Coming up very soon.
And you're looking forward to that, I'll bet, hey?
Oh, it's fun. Yeah,
Yeah.
she has great people.
And do you always play with fairies? Have you all your life done that?
No. No, I working with fairies has come to me probably in the last 15 years.
Nice.
Prior to that, I was trying my best to remember all that stuff that's buried in the ideas of Freemasonry.
Oh, wow.
So I think my previous incarnations were through that. My most recent incarnations were through that. But then I started to remember the things that came from magic and druidry. And shamanism is my core training. That's the formal education that I received. So.
Well, cheeky little question. It is all, I forget what my cheeky little question is, so I'll have to edit this out, gall darn it. Oh, I know what the cheeky little question was, is do you think our waking up is all memory? Is that what it is? The memory of what we are, what we could be, what we have been. Do you
Yes.
think? Yes.
I think it's remembering because we all came from the stars.
Woo!
Every single thing about you was birthed out of a star.
I know, isn't that wonderful?
And she remembers you.
Nice, and we are children of the universe.
And we are indeed.
Thank you so much, Carla Meske. You are a delightful, delightful shamanic influence, and I'm glad you're always at the beginning because I am too. Thank you. Thank you for
Thank
being
you.
a paradigm shifter for a lot of us in this time of awakening. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for tuning into Paradigm Shifters. And you can pick up this podcast on my site, veronicaentwistle.com, maybe on Carla's site, spirithealer.com, and iTunes, Stitcher. And that's it for now. So thank you for listening. Many blessings.
Thank you.